in your Bibles to the book of Ruth. This little book sandwiched between the book of Judges and 1 Samuel. We're going through this portion of Scripture together, and we come now today to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. Please give careful attention now to the hearing of God's very word. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.'" So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." And then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother in your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." And then she said, "I found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. And when she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves. Do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, Besides, he said to me, you shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted. So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Thus ends the reading of God's very word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given your Son to be the Redeemer. Oh Lord, we ask that you would come and thrill our hearts, that you are mighty and powerful to save. That, Lord, you're at work in this fallen, messed up world. And that even though sin is very real and the consequences of sin are real, Lord, there's so much brokenness and heartache and sorrow. Lord, how we thank you that you have come to rescue, to apply your precious blood, granting repentance and faith in you, Lord Jesus. Lord, how we thank you that the second we believe in you, you declare us right with you, the living God. And Lord, you're not content to just have us forgiven, bond slaves. But Lord, you have adopted us in your Son, the Lord Jesus, into your family because of your work of redemption. Lord, what wonder to have the privilege in you, Lord Jesus, of calling you our great God, Abba, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you are at work in our lives, growing us, hanging on to us, calling us back unto yourself. Lord, when we would stumble and fall, you pick us up. When we would turn off the path and listen to the tempter's lies, Lord, you graciously come and bring conviction upon our hearts and grant us renewed hatred of our own sin and renewed love for you, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, how we thank you that there is a future for us because we belong to you, Lord Jesus. We pray, O Lord, that you would come now by your Spirit and that you would show us your glory from this portion of your holy word. We thank you that this is not the words of men, even though you used men to give us your infallible, inerrant word. But Lord, this is the word of your mouth. And so, Lord, come by your Spirit and speak this your very word to our hearts and make us those who leap for joy to love you, Lord Jesus. We make our prayer to you, the one true living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the name of your Son, the only mediator, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, this chapter begins with a statement. And evidently, that morning that Ruth got up, the pantry was getting a little low on supplies. And the way Mercy Ministries worked in that day, God had provided that the farmers who owned property, that when they harvested their crops, that they were not to pass over the field a second time. But those who were in need could go behind the harvesters, and whatever fell, those grains, whatever it was they were harvesting, whether it be grains or olives or grapes, those then were available for people who were in need to pick up and harvest for themselves. And it was called gleaning. Gleaning. And so Ruth gets up and she tells her mother-in-law, she says, I'm going to go and find a field to glean in today. And from the language of this chapter, it appears to us that there was no plan of Naomi or Ruth to go and focus on this particular man. We get that from verse 3, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. But the chapter begins by telling us who this Boaz is. Obviously, this was written after the story. The historical events have all taken place. And the Lord says, now I just want you to take note of this particular character. His name is Boaz. And we're going to talk more about that. But the chapter begins by describing Boaz as a near relative. When we come to chapter 3, we'll see the significance of this more. But I just want you to notice he's a relative. He's a near relative. Described here a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech. And you remember that was Naomi's husband. And this man, his name was Boaz. Well, Ruth gets up. She says to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor. Don't know who it might be. But I'm just going to go. We need food. I'm just going to go and see if I can find a field where there is some farmer who would allow me to glean in his field. And so, verse 3, she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. We don't know if this was the first field she came to or if it was the third or the fifth, we don't know. What we do know is, in the Lord's kind providence, He orchestrated, however the events took place, that she finds herself, she happened to come. It wasn't her plan, but it sure was God's plan. And she finds herself reaping in this field that belongs to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And that's repeated again. The Lord emphasizes now. Do you have it? Boaz is a near relative. He is of the clan of Elimelech. You got it? Okay. So let's keep going. Now let's look at who this man is. And we don't know this from chapter 2, but from chapter 3, as the amazing romance blossoms, if you will, Boaz comments about how Ruth has not been attracted to the young men. And so we know that, for example, over in Ruth chapter 3, in verse 10, he said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, and that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And so that tells us something about Boaz. Boaz is an older man. What else do we know about Boaz? Well, Boaz is an amazing man. Boaz is a godly man. Boaz just exudes with hope and life and the kindness and the mercy of Almighty God. And in verse 4 of Ruth chapter 2, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." Here is this very powerful man in the community, a very wealthy man, an older man. Don't know if he had been married earlier and his wife had died, but he doesn't have children. He doesn't have a wife. But what kind of man is he? He is full of life. He's full of joy. Notice how when he comes to the people who are working for him, what does he say? "The Lord be with you." That's how he greets them. And you know, I've often thought we really ought to take note of this greeting. Do you ever see somebody and go, "How you doing?" And that's a nice greeting. But how many people really mean, "How you doing?" And I was struck recently. I greeted a person that way, and I said, "How you doing?" And they were about 20 paces behind me when I heard, "Hi." I really wanted to know, "How are you doing?" Greetings ought not just be a meaningless word. What a glorious greeting this is. And we see, here's a man who loves the Christ. "The Lord be with you." He understands that if we would be blessed, if we would have life, we must have the Lord with us. Turn with me over to the book of Numbers, chapter 6. Why is it that it's such a sweet thing if the Lord is with us? Why is that such a blessing? Why is that such a glorious greeting? Well, in Numbers chapter 6, we see in verse 22 and following that the sons of Aaron, who were the priests, had a responsibility when God's people would come to the temple, when they would be gathered together to seek the face of the Lord, they were to bless God's people. The priests were to pronounce the name of God in blessing upon God's people. Look at verse 22. "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.'" And so here's this picture of God coming and being with his people and smiling upon his people. The Lord's presence comes and smiles upon his people. And so here in Ruth chapter 2, we begin to learn now about this man Boaz. "The Lord be with you." And the people who were working for him, they respond. And notice what they say. "The Lord bless you." And so that wouldn't be a bad a greeting and response for us to pick up on. No, instead of, "The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you." So here's this godly man, Boaz. What else do we know about Boaz? Well, verse 5, "Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers," I notice the field is much more lovely today, "whose young woman is this. He had not seen Ruth before. Who is this? And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. And so he said, she's been going at it all morning long. And she asked permission to follow after the reapers, and I gave her permission. And she's been working, and she only stopped for just a short rest, and the rest of the time she's been working hard. Well, then Boaz goes up to Ruth, and here's what he says. Verse 8. Now, then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Here Boaz, he says, I am giving instructions to the reapers, to the young men, that they are to be careful to treat you with great care, dignity, respect. You can go with the other ladies that are gleaning, that have permission in my field. And when you get thirsty, you don't have to walk any distance to go get water. The water that my young men have drawn and have provided right there, help yourself. Well, verse 10, Ruth responds. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" Evidently, Ruth had not experienced a whole lot of warm welcome. I mean, she is a Moabite after all. You would expect people to keep her at a distance because the Lord had warned about those who were from pagan nations being embraced. And yet, it becomes very clear that Boaz had heard that she had renounced her pagan gods and had, as he refers to it, taken shelter under the wings of the Almighty God of Israel. And so she says, "Why have I found favor in your sight? I'm a foreigner." And so Boaz answers, verse 11, "But Boaz answered her, 'All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me.'" Her picture had not been posted on her Facebook page, but her story had spread like wildfire. How this woman, even though she was a Moabitess, had left her own people. And even though her other sister-in-law, Orpah, had stayed back in Moab, she had come back, even though she knew that she would be kept at arm's length because she was a Moabitess. Yet because of her love for Naomi and her love for her former husband, she came back to stand with and care for her mother-in-law. And Boaz says, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me." This is unusual. "And how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before." And so Boaz, again now, he's speaking words of encouragement. "The Lord repay you for what you have done. and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Now, why do you think Boaz has such a heart that would rejoice and seek to encourage a foreigner who had come now and embraced the God of Israel? Well, Boaz, he grew up in a very exciting home. Boaz's mama, she was not originally an Israelite. Boaz's mama was a lady by the name of Rahab. And you remember that Rahab, she was a prostitute formerly. And she had heard of all of the amazing things that God had done to destroy Egypt and to show the false gods of Egypt to be worthless idols. And when the spies came, she said, "Listen, I know God is going to give you this city and this land." And she said, "When you capture this city," she said, "please spare me and my father's house." And the spy said, "Tell you what, if you will hide us and not turn us over to the king of Jericho, when we capture the city, we will spare you and your father's house if you stay in your house." And so she said, "Deal." And Hebrews 11, James 2 tells us that Rahab was a woman of faith. And when Jericho was captured, when the walls came tumbling down, Rahab was spared. Not only spared, but the Lord added her to his people. And she and her husband, Salmon, had a little baby boy by the name of Boaz. And Boaz is nurtured and cared for by this woman who is just full of amazement and wonder that the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob would reach out his mighty hand and include her. All of his grace, all of his mercy, changing her from being a woman who lived against the living God to now belong to the living God and be a part of his family. And so Boaz, he understands the heart of Almighty God, reaching out, showing kindness and mercy to those who didn't earn it. Of course, nobody does, but one of the tragedies of the nation of Israel and tragedy in our day is it would be easy for us to forget that we stand only but by the grace of God. The only reason we're not thinking insane thoughts and doing insane things in our culture is because of the mercy of Jesus. And so Boaz, he says, "The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Well, verse 13, "Then she said, 'I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants.'" And so here's the introduction of Ruth and Boaz. Who would have thought on that morning that Ruth got up and went to glean because they needed food to eat, that she would meet her future husband? You just never know. You just never know what God is at work doing. And so it is time to eat. And verse 14, at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine. He gets to thinking about this young lady and how they don't have enough food to eat. That's why she's out in the field gleaning. And he thinks, I've got plenty of food. And so he invites her to come and sit with his reapers and the people he had given permission to glean. And so she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied. She ate until she was full. And she had some left over. And so, you know, what should you do with the leftovers? Well, obviously, you don't want to just waste it. And so she's packaged that up now, and she's going to take that back home to share with Naomi. So verse 15, when she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves. Now, the sheaves were up where, you know, you could just reach out and grab big handfuls of grain. The gleaners were supposed to stay behind the reapers. And what fell on the ground, little bits here and there, you could pick up. But Boaz said, listen, to his reapers, I give permission to this young lady Ruth, that if she wants to, it's fine for her. You can encourage her to come on up and be right there where it's easy to get a bunch of grain. And then verse 16, he says, do not reproach her. And then verse 16, also pull out some from the bundles for her and leave it for her to glean. Purposefully kind of leave some in her path. Boaz, he's very generous, very kind. And do not rebuke her. Do not reproach her. She has been kind to Naomi. I want to show kindness to her. So verse 17, so she gleaned in the field until evening, and then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Now, we don't measure by ephahs, and it is about 3/5 of a bushel. And so you can picture a bushel basket, and it's about 3/5. So it's a huge quantity of grain to be gained in one day of gleaning. It was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, where did you glean today? I mean, this was unusual. Naomi is like, wow, where did you glean today? She goes out, I'm going to try to find a field to glean in, and she doesn't come home with just a little bit of grain. She comes home with a bushel basket, 3/5 full of grain, and leftovers from lunch. And she shares with Naomi. Where did you glean today? Where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Here we see Naomi's heart beginning to be revived. You remember last week we saw what a pitiful condition her heart had grown to be, just full of such bitterness. such despair. She had lost sight of the goodness of God, of His presence, that He is faithful, that He is at work in this fallen world. And so now all of a sudden she sees a little glimmer of hope. She sees, the Lord hasn't deserted us. Here we have a glimmer of hope. Blessed is this man. May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. She said, Boaz, he knows that we're kin, and he was just showing kindness, showing mercy. Boaz, at that point, he has no idea he's going to get anything in return. He does it simply because he wants to show the kindness of the Lord. And we know that from his testimony over in chapter 3. He is shocked when Ruth proposes to him. And, it's kind of an interesting twist on things. Usually it's the guy who proposes, but we'll say more about that next Lord's Day. Ruth chapter 2. May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Naomi also said to her, the man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. Now we're not going to look today at Leviticus 25 or Deuteronomy 25. But those are two passages we're going to look at, Lord willing, next week. And we're going to see that in the Old Testament time, God had provided that if you had become where you could not afford to live, that you could sell yourself as an indentured servant, and it included your land, For a period of time, and that a close relative could buy your debt and restore you. And so that's what's going on here. Naomi, she has nothing. She's destitute. And so she says, besides, not only has this man shown great kindness to you and me today, but he's a close relative. He's one of our redeemers. And the Hebrew word for redeemer there is goel. And we'll talk more about that next Lord's Day. But verse 21, Ruth the Moabite said, besides, he said to me, you shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter. And you can just see Naomi. She's beginning to grin. The scriptures don't tell us what was the expression on her face, but you can see that this lady's heart is rejoicing. She said, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with these young women, lest in another field you be assaulted. Now, when Naomi's mind began to put together this plot that we see unfold in chapter 3, we don't know, but she's very pleased. Very pleased. So that's where we'll stop today. And what should we learn from this passage? And I'm just going to mention three quick things as we close. Thing number one, there is a Redeemer. There is a Redeemer. In the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus appeared over and over and over in shadow form. And here in the book of Ruth, the shadow of the Redeemer appears. Here's this a lady who has lost everything. And she has no future. She has nobody to take care of her. And yet the Lord comes and the Lord provides. Provides Ruth. Provides Boaz. And it's just a reminder. Just a little picture to us that even though we live in a fallen world where there's so much heartache and sorrow and ick, there is a Redeemer. And Boaz is but just a dim picture of this Redeemer. But we do see the shadow of the Redeemer in the book of Ruth. And the Lord Jesus is the one who's casting the shadow. And Boaz is just a shadow of this Redeemer who comes to restore and to give hope and to give a future to this lady who has nothing. The second thing that we learn from this passage is we learn what a godly man and a godly woman looks like. And I want you to notice both Boaz and Ruth. They are just living life one day at a time, doing what is right in the sight of God with a heart trusting in Messiah. That's how Boaz has lived his life. We don't know how old he was. You know, that keeps changing in my assessment of things. When I was in my teens, you know, if you were 30 years old, you were old. And 30 is very young now. And then I can remember thinking when people in their 50s were old. That's young. So I don't know how old Boaz was, but he had lived his entire life just trusting and obeying the Christ. Trusting and obeying the Christ. Day in and day out. When he would greet people who worked for him, he's pointing them to the living God. When he sees a stranger, what's he do? He shows the mercy of God to this Moabite woman. When he hears who she is, he says, well, I really want to show kindness to this woman because I want to encourage her because of her testimony of turning her back on her pagan gods and standing by Naomi. I want to show the kindness of the Lord. What a testimony. And Ruth. Ruth doesn't despair of life. Ruth doesn't sit home and say, oh, I don't feel like going to glean today. Let me play another video game. I just want to escape reality. No. She trusts and obeys Jesus. She has no idea that she is going to go and glean in the field of the man that she will have the joy of building a Christian home with. But she's just doing her duty before the living God to go and work with her hands, hard, hard physical labor to provide food for she and her mother-in-law. So that's the second thing we learn, an example of just trust and obey Jesus. And then the third thing, and this is what I want to leave you with, I just want you to notice how the tone of this book has changed. Chapter 1, man, people are dying and Naomi's just full of bitterness and it's just, you know, gloom and despair and agony on me and it's a hopeless picture. But now, all of a sudden in chapter 2, there's this Redeemer that's introduced. There's a Redeemer that's introduced. And Naomi's heart is revived. And Ruth is amazed. Why have you shown such kindness to me? And Boaz is testifying of the living God and of how that it is His joy to honor those who are seeking shelter under the wings of the Almighty. You know, I can't help but think about John the Baptist. And where are you going to find contentment and where are you going to find joy? And it's not in the ease of our circumstances. And that's how the world thinks and operates. But contentment, joy, peace, hope is found only in one place: the Lord Jesus Christ. This past week, I had the opportunity to go to a meeting of many of the leaders, government officials here in Tazewell County, to hear some ideas about what to do about the drug problem, the economic situation, it was fascinating. I heard a judge speak just about what a hopeless situation we're facing in this community. Well, praise God, it isn't hopeless, because there's a Redeemer, and His name is Jesus. And He can change people's hearts, and He can provide business blessing and the opportunity. He can raise up a whole generation of young people who have a vision to not live for the fleeting pleasures of the moment, but for the honor of God, and to pursue a calling that would be honorable in the Lord's sight. I want you to look at John chapter 3. And here we have the testimony of John the Baptist. And in verse 25, "Now discussion arose between some of John's disciples and the Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, 'Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him.' John answered, 'A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven.'" And that's how Ruth and Boaz and Naomi's heart is being revived to look to the Lord and live in light of who He is. And here's John the Baptist. He says, "Look, everything that we have is from the hand of God. You yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before Him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease." And so, where are you going to find joy and contentment and hope? It is as we give ourselves to the Lord Jesus, day in and day out, in just everyday things like getting up and pursuing our calling like Boaz did, or Ruth getting up and going and gleaning in a field to provide food for an old, bitter mother-in-law. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like fun to get up and go sweat and work in a old dusty field so that you can provide food for an old bitter mother-in-law? Yes. But you see, when you see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this was John's experience, you know, my joy, my contentment is to do what pleases the Lord Jesus. And so that's what I leave you with in the book of Ruth. And we'll pick it up there, Lord willing, next week. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your holy word. We thank You for the living word of Your mouth. It's an eternal word. And Lord, even though we don't live in Old Testament Israel. And we don't even are not real familiar with things like gleaning, or this whole matter of a redeemer kinsman. But Lord, how we thank you that it teaches us the gospel, and it calls us to have a heart like Boaz and Ruth and Naomi was beginning to once again have hope in the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, please revive our hearts this day, Lord, to be hating our own sin and loving you and giving ourselves anew to follow you, to be used by your mighty hands, almighty hands. Lord, we who have taken shelter under your wings, Lord, our life, our joy, our contentment is all wrapped up in knowing you, Lord Jesus, and just living in you and for you in our everyday lives. Grant that to us, Lord. How we thank you for your word. Bless now as we continue to worship together. In Jesus we pray. Amen.